traveling over 100 miles an hour. And they've got a parachute on so that they, when they come out into the big openings, they can hit the parachute. And actually, some of the guys are experimenting now with landing on water without parachutes. So they'll glide down to a lake and just skim just perfectly. Otherwise, they're going to tumble like crazy because they're going 100 miles an hour. Crazy stuff. So we're talking about fears this morning. I went to the dentist this week on this subject, you know, fears. And for me, whenever I go to the dentist, it's usually a painful experience for me because, I don't know, my nerves and my teeth are just really slow to react to the Novocaine. And so usually the dentist will get started and I'll feel it. You know, at some point it's fine and then, you know, and then he'll go back in. And I've had a guy go in, you know, like 7 different times. Well, let's try more, you know, and then my mouth's numb for the next 3 days and a little loopy. But I had a, you know, one of them hit my tongue while he was going in there. And however, if there's any kids in here, dentists really aren't that bad. It's just me. It's just me. Anyways, a couple weeks ago, I went in. I know I'm going to have to tame that down a little because I know there's not many kids in here today, but in this morning, but second service. But I went in a couple weeks ago, and it didn't go well. I went a long period of time where I didn't have I didn't have dental insurance. So now I'm playing catch up on cavities and getting fillings. And it was pretty painful this last time, but I just decided I'm tired of having to stop and go back in and get numb. And so I just like squeezed my hands together and just bared through it. And so then that was a couple weeks ago. This last week I went in for another filling. And I was honestly probably the most anxious that I'd been going to the dentist for a long time. And they're really kind. They say, okay, well, we'll shoot you up here, and then we'll just let you, you know, sit here for a while. And during that time while I was sitting, I was thinking to myself, you know, I could, you know, I'm already squeezing my hands together. I'm all tense. I could just pray and ask God to help this go smoothly and just ask him to help me not experience a bunch of pain here. And as soon as I thought that, just laying there in the dentist chair, I thought, you know, I could pray with the dentist and the hygienist. And then now I was not only anxious, but now that the thought had entered my mind, it felt wrong to not do that. So I'm like, oh, you know, what are they going to say? They're going to think I'm weird. And so my heart's thumping for this 5 minutes while I'm waiting for them to come back. And they come back and sit down. But at that point, I decided, no, you know, I'd gotten through this is going to go bad, you know. What's the worst that could happen when you make somebody really mad before they go into your mouth with a drill, you know? But I just decided, you know, this feels like the right thing to do. I'm going to pray. I'm basically just asking them, do you mind if I stop and pray? But at that point, I was developing a heart for them and praying that things would go well for them. The procedure, it's their work. It's just a blessing on their work. So they came in and said, okay, we're ready to get started. And I said, do you guys mind if I pray before you get started? They're probably thinking, wow, you have no confidence in us? And they said, oh, yeah. They were really welcoming to it. And they're like, that would be great. Yeah, go ahead. So there were one of them on each side. And I prayed that I wouldn't have pain, which I knew was putting God out there in a sense, because I rarely ever have had work done on the lower teeth where they're able to get that numb and it didn't hurt. So I'm like, what if I'm screaming every 2 seconds, stop, give me more Novocaine, after praying in Jesus' name. But also part of that prayer was praying for them, just praying that God would bless their work and the talents and the giftings that they have. And so they were very appreciative after the prayer and they got started. And I did not have any pain. And I went in and out during the drilling. It usually just hits me like, whoa, there it is. But so I'd go in and out of being tense and worried and just waiting. And then, wait a minute, I prayed and just relax, Jeff, relax. While the dentist was in there, she found another cavity that wasn't on the on the thing, and she was very limited with time. And I heard the two of them, you know, they're talking to each other, the hygienist, and they're, should we go? I don't know. Let's go for it. You know, so they went for it. So now I'm like, okay, God, now they're going to drill another one. Please let me get through this one without pain. And they got it all done. Everything went well. I could tell things were going well for them because they're like, they'd start to have trouble, and they're like, oh, perfect. You know, they're trying to get stuff on my teeth. And everything went smoothly. They finished, and they asked me, so how'd you do? I'm like, no pain. And you guys got to understand, that's a miracle. Because I usually do have it. And then the hygienist was even saying to the dentist, you know, I know we were up against it trying to go for that second filling, but I know that you were feeling like you had some help with that. And the dentist was like, yeah, you know, I think I did. Because she wasn't going to try to go for it. She was going to have to set up another appointment and go through that. So that was just an experience of the week. And as we talk about last week, we talked about stepping into our fears and facing our fears and sharing our faith and living out loud what we believe. And it was exhilarating. I mean, you know, at a lesser level than these guys maybe jumping off these cliffs, I was watching an interview of one of them, and they said they manage their fear. He said, you have to manage your fear at the top before you jump. Because as soon as you jump, you're not thinking about anything but flying. There's no fear going through your mind. You are so focused on what you're doing. And I kind of experienced that in that 5 minutes of waiting. I was managing the fear, going, okay, what am I afraid of? And just living out loud and letting other people see my faith, letting other people see. I'm going to pray anyways, I decided. So what's it going to hurt to let them see me walking with God? And even involve them in it, in a sense, by praying for them and letting them experience God. So I want to run through, there were quite a few people gone last week at the women's retreat, so I want to run through a quick review of last week so we can then jump into two more fears that we're going to talk about this morning when it comes to sharing our faith. So last week I talked about this treasure chest, remember, that we are all basically, as Christians, a treasure chest. We have this good news contained in us that we can open up and share with others, or in fear, we keep the lid tight on that. Some of the things that are in that treasure chest are restoration to God, our restored relationship with Him. So I'm going to move real quick through these. Right standing now. So there's not the guilt and the condemnation. We're free from that. And I talked about purpose and identity as well are in this treasure chest. These are things we carry around with us. Remember the adoption picture that brings. Identity as sons and daughters of God. And so, remember I talked about picture the earth as this big orphanage. And at birth, we're separated from the Father. And He's coming after us. He's coming into this orphanage to call us into His kingdom and to call us into His family. And then He gives us the paperwork. Through Jesus Christ, we have legal paperwork that says we are a part of the family of God. But then He gives us a time to stay in the orphanage, not as members of it. But we stay in the orphanage. He says, I want you to stay here for a time, this period of time that we don't know how long that is, that we'll be here before we go to be with Him in His house. And He says, send my invitation to the others around you. My invitation is for all to come and be my sons and daughters. And then we talked about, okay, so we've got this treasure chest, but we're afraid to open it. Why? Why was I afraid to pray at the dentist's office? Some of the things we talked about, we do not know how to clearly communicate the gospel. And I said that during this series, as we move forward in this series, we're going to identify very clearly, here's what, if you remove all the religious haze of the gospel and all the religious wording that people get caught up in and get lost in, what is the good news? And how do you clearly communicate it to somebody so they know what decision they have to make, so they know what the offer is? And so we're going to go deeper into that. I also talked about, as soon as I bring up God, my relationship with this person will never be the same. And I talked about how That's the persecution of our day in this culture, in American culture. And we basically didn't talk about how to avoid that as much as we talked about the fact that we're going to have some of that in our lives as we step out. That the persecution that we're warned about but also told to embrace in the New Testament wasn't just for that time. And it's not just for third world countries today. There's persecution that we face or we can avoid. So we're going to have to step into some of that. And the last one we covered last week was, I will not have an answer or the right answer to a hard question they will ask. And the response to that was, you're absolutely right. You're not always going to have the right answer. The Holy Spirit steals the show. Like Peter and John, when the people said, who are these unschooled, ordinary men? They speak with such courage because they had the Holy Spirit. So we're not going to, it's not a brain match competition to see who can have the right answers. However, opening those conversations does cause us to say, hey, I want to look into that more. I want to find the answer to that. So we dig into it more. But really remembering God is the one drawing people to himself. He's writing a story. This is a romance story. He's calling people to himself. We're invited to join him as part of that invitation that he's making to people. So as we move forward then this morning, last week we ended with a prayer that God would give us opportunities to step in to that fear and to share our faith. So I'm going to be bold and ask, did anybody see one of those opportunities this week? If you could raise your hand. Got a few hands here. Did you step into that? Okay, that's good. I realized kind of in the midst of it that God was trapping me in my own prayer in the dentist's office there this week. And it was really, there was a joy that I walked away from that with, and the two people walked away, the two dentists in that situation. My daughter was sharing with me, and she goes to Cedar Crest High School. This last week, she really felt compelled to ask one of her friends that she's had for months now what she believes. Just as a, hey, you know, what do you believe about God? And came to find out that she's also a Christian. And now they're like, whoa, there's this whole new level we can relate to each other on now, and we can connect with each other on. So that was fruitful for her. But there was a stepping out there of, I don't know what kind of answer I'm going to get. So I was proud of her for that. So diving into the two fears we're going to cover today, let's look at this. Paul is encouraging Timothy here, and he says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's a beautiful passage, but look what he says here about our spirit, the kind of spirit God has given us. Is full of power, love, and self-discipline. And then he goes on to call Timothy, now step into the hard stuff, because that's the kind of spirit you have. That's the kind of spirit we have. I saw all these operating at some level, even in my dentist appointment. I worked through that. I saw power because the procedure went well and I didn't have pain. I saw love because by the end of that, I actually had a love that I didn't really feel going into that for these two people. I had a love for them. I was my prayer leaving there was that their day would continue to go well, that they would sense God's love for them, helping them. Self-discipline, I aligned myself with what was right and what God was calling me to there, instead of submitting to my fear and just praying under my breath for my own comfort. But inviting them in to see a relationship with God and what that looks like. So keeping that in mind and empowering us and encouraging us, let's move into the first fear. They will hear the good news and reject it. Okay, so I'm going to move this out of your way. There is a fear that they're going to reject our offer, right? We're going to offer them this treasure chest, but we forget that it's really God's offer to man. And we are regents, we are messengers of that offer. And so when we tie ourselves up in that, we're frozen in fear because we feel like the person is rejecting us personally when they reject the offer, or if they reject the offer, if they're not open to it, if they don't embrace it with open arms. A friend of mine was telling me about a season of her life where she was offering friendship to some specific people. She wanted to offer a friendship. She was in, even in her mothering, she was offering her mothering, and her son was rejecting that, just completely rejecting that. And she started to come to a place where she thought, you know, my offers maybe aren't that good. These offers aren't good. And so in her time with God, she was praying, and this picture came to her mind of this big plate of chocolate chip cookies. Warm, fresh out of the oven, you can smell them. Chocolate's still soft. And God was saying, this is a delicious plate of chocolate chip cookies. And you should keep offering this plate of chocolate chip cookies. And the goodness of that plate of chocolate chip cookies does not change based on whether people accept it or receive it or not. And so she changed her thinking about that. And that emboldened her to be able to offer again. And I think God would say something similar about his offer. If we're frozen with this fear of, are people going to accept this or not? And are they going to reject me and this offer, going, you know what, this is a really good offer that God has. He wants to adopt. And I get to be the one to tell people that he wants to adopt. And then it's between them and God what they want to do with that offer. But if they reject it, it doesn't mean the offer is not good. Another dynamic that goes on with that fear is it can create a pressure to sell the good news. So you step off the edge of the cliff, and now there's this commitment level to, I've got to sell this, because you're riding on the fact that if they reject it, maybe the offer's not good. And so there's this pressure. I remember as a new Christian, when I was a truck driver, I had to drive a customer to a job site. And in that 10-minute drive, I started talking with this guy about Jesus. And as he got into it more and he was a little bit resistant, I realized I've only got, you know, 5 more minutes in the truck. I've got to get this guy to pray the sinner's prayer. It's on me. His salvation is on me at this point. And I drove the conversation and guilted this guy into, you're going to hell if you don't pray right now, so we got 5 more minutes, you know. And basically, he prayed the prayer with me. I dropped him off and I drove away from there actually feeling bad that I just shared Christ with this guy and had him pray the sinner's prayer, pray through receiving Christ. I don't know spiritually what happened there. You know, that may have been a genuine thing that he prayed, but I felt bad about it because I felt like I was just driving it in him. You know, he got out of the truck like, what just happened to me? And I never had another conversation with him again about God. But I felt like I could not lose that. And part of it that was driving me was I really felt that his salvation was on my shoulders. And if he didn't make a decision, that I was going to be to blame. So that fear alone can keep you from even wanting to go there. Because, third point, God knows the openness of one's heart. So if we don't think it's going to go well, and we don't think that person's at a place to accept God's offer, we don't even open the conversation. We decide, that person's got a look on his face right now. I don't think I'm even going to talk about God with him. Or, he just said a comment a little while ago, and so I don't think he's going to be open at all. And so we don't we basically start judging people's hearts and where they're at, and we exclude certain people in our lives from sharing God with them. Can you think of some people in your life maybe that you've excluded from even having the conversation with? You know, even if you felt prompted, you would come to your own conclusion of, yeah, I feel like I'm supposed to say something, but I just know that they don't need to hear that. So that's God's work. He knows the hearts, the inner hearts of a man or a woman and where they're at. So that's another kind of thing we can get stuck on. Another fear, second one that we're going to look at this morning. I honestly feel hindered by a lack of passion for the gospel or for others to hear the good news. So this isn't necessarily a fear so much as a system that's going on with us, a dynamic that we're dealing with in our walk with God. To be honest, you know, I just don't have the passion to share God with anybody. Jeff, this is a great series. We're talking about sharing our faith, but it just doesn't cross my mind. I'm not even coming up against any fears in sharing my faith with people. I just go through my day and I don't even think about talking about God with people. It's just not on my mind. So what's going on with that? Is it possible that you can know enough to be saved, but not enough to be excited about it? And do we find ourselves in that place some days? Or in certain seasons of our lives? We know God. We know what he's done for us. But we're not necessarily excited about it. Not to the level that it's flowing out of us, that in our interactions with people throughout the day, we just can't keep quiet our relationship and our walk with God in a loving, respectful attitude. So just think about this as, you know, in the dynamic of being a new believer and then walking with God for a while, do you find the longer you walk with God, the less you are aware of his goodness? Does that seem like a weird statement? But something that I think happens often with us is, for those of us who are not brand new in our faith, maybe think back to when you received Christ and the joy that overflowed, this crystal clear understanding of his grace, that you're washed clean by God. And does it feel like something's happened since that time to this present day that has lessened your awareness of that in some sense? It just doesn't feel quite the same. That almost felt like a honeymoon period in your relationship with God, and now it's just kind of going through the motions. And is that okay? What's going on there that causes that? Almost like when you came to Christ, you were washed clean. But it was like a big bucket of water that just washed you clean, and then you continued forward, and as the years go by, you're picking up dirt again. You're not continually clean as you walk with God. And is that a right perception of your relationship with him and your position in Christ? And what does that do? Talking about the main point here, what is this doing for our passion? So what are some of the things that cause us to go from that new believer who's on fire for God and it's just pouring out of you to get to a place where you're going through your days and you're like, Jeff, I'm not even thinking about sharing my faith. Maybe I'm not even thinking about my faith, but I believe in God and I know I'm saved. Some of the things that can happen are corrupting the good news. So through our own thoughts, through our own analysis, through our own interpretations of the word, through teachings that we've been under, we begin to mix law and grace. We begin to have this message of, yes, saved by grace, Jesus came and he washed away my sins, but I also know that I've got to maintain that. And it was great in the beginning because I had this fresh start with God, but now I'm failing and I can't keep it up and it's so much work. And I'm not really excited to share that system that I feel like I'm under with other people. Would encourage you this week to read Galatians. And if you can, sit down and read it in one sitting. It's 6 chapters. It doesn't take that long to read, but it's an amazing view into the Apostle Paul's addressing this issue of mixing grace and the law. And he is livid in Galatians. He is so ticked off that this has happened. And listen to the words that he uses. Listen to the words that he uses and compare them with 1 Corinthians, this church that is just steeped in sin. And he's not using the harsh words with them that he's using in Galatia for those who are preaching grace and preaching circumcision. Yeah, but there's these things of the law that we have to continue to uphold. So that's just an interesting look into, as you read Galatians 2, think about your own life. Is there areas of my life where I feel like I'm earning my relationship with God? I'm earning favor with him by certain things that I do, but I've got grace over here as well. That it's the work of Jesus on the cross that has made me right with God. We'll steal your passion to share. You're not going to share good news that you don't think is really good. The world is a consuming weed patch. There are all kinds of things to consume ourselves. So part of the dynamic of us saying, well, I go through my day and I don't even think about God often, is just all the stuff that we have. There's so many things that we can consume ourselves with. We can load our schedule up, but there's just no space to develop relationship. Relationship takes time, and we can completely consume ourselves with so many good things. They're not necessarily sinful things, but there's so many things that we can fill our lives with, especially in this culture, in our consumer culture. It's all out there for us that we are just so consumed, there's just no space, literally, for God. And that can, over time, get us to a place where we're going, I remember something about being really passionate when I heard the good news. And I don't know where that went. And I don't know if I can get back to that because there's so much around me. There's just so many weeds in my life. There's so much busyness in my life. It's another element. Just be thinking through, where's your level of passion for the good news, for the gospel, for the work that Jesus did? And what things of these might be feeding into it? Another one, we falsely interpret life events. So God is on trial in our lives. I talked a few weeks ago about this system that I had to deal with in my own life that I had, where when hard things happened in my life, there was automatically the system kicked in. And so if you're operating with a place of there's this journey with God from receiving Christ to walking your life until you breathe your last breath and you go to heaven. And that period of time is a time period where you will, in the end, evaluate the goodness of God based on how you experience that journey. Okay? If the journey goes well, if it feels like God is really responsive to you and he's blessing you, then God is really good. He is good. But there's ups and downs, and, well, there's this trial here, and this happened, and I didn't understand why this went this way. And towards this latter part of your journey, you're starting to settle into a place of, I don't know really how good God is, but he's good. But I don't know if it's a capital G good or not. And so we build this system of putting God on trial. This can be death to our passion, for sure. So something to consider for your own life is that system functioning right now for you? Okay, that's something we all have to face, and we all have to take to God and say, do I operate under a system of waiting to see how things work out? Or can I make the statement that God is good, and there's things that are going to happen in my life and in that journey from start to finish on earth that I'm not going to understand. There's things that I'm going to learn through those situations that I may come out on the other end understanding more about God. And there's things that I might not understand. But through all of that, the foundation is that God is really good, and the good news is a miracle in my life. That I have this relationship with God that's unbroken. My spirit is in an unbroken, eternal relationship with God from this point, you know, from that point of receiving Christ. The solution to breaking down this problem with why we're not sharing our faith is to seek to know and understand what you really have. That's what we've been talking about a little bit this morning. I know this can be kind of heavy stuff, because we're talking about real life right now, this afternoon, this week, when you go out among your day. You're thinking about, maybe as I'm talking here this morning, what last week was like. And did you share your faith with anybody? I'm not trying to put guilt on us and play the system that I just said isn't good, which is, oh gosh, maybe God's mad at me. Maybe he's not pleased with me because I'm not sharing my faith. No, it's an understanding that there's a life to be found in really understanding the truth of the goodness of God and then living that out and being a part of what God is doing, because God is sharing himself with people all around you, and he's inviting you into that story. So, there's got to be, let me just, I'll run through a little list of kind of checks to see if maybe you're mixing law and grace, or maybe you're struggling with some of these points here that are causing you to not be overflowing with passion to share your faith. And then I want to have a time where we just kind of spend some time listening for God to speak into that. And we actually have some time to do that. That's cool. Because there must be something that Paul was experiencing about the good news, that if we're not living with that passion, we're not maybe understanding the good news at the same level that he was. I mean, when he talked about grace, he was accused of giving license to sin. He was that radical when he talked about the grace of God. And of course, he came back and said, no, I'm not giving license to sin. I'm saying when you really understand the good news and how good it is, it's the last thing you want to do. I mean, when you came to Christ and gave your life to him, and you kind of lived in that overflowing joy, just even those first few weeks, did you have a desire to go out and sin? That was the farthest thing from my mind. I was so captured by this God who stepped out and initiated this relationship with me and did everything that needed to be done to establish me back in relationship with him and cover my sin. But that was the last place I went to, was, wow, this is freedom. I can go out and sin now. I was just on the other side of the slavery that sin brought in my life and the death. So understanding that brings this righteousness. So if you, in your walk with God, you know, regularly kind of have some guilt, just kind of feel guilty about, you could list out things that you feel guilty for, guilty conscience. If you walk in a relationship with God where you feel like, you know, there's a good percentage of the time that I think God's disappointed with me. He's mad at me. He's upset. Oh boy, blew it again. I wonder what Dad's thinking. Heavenly Dad. He's probably disappointed with me again. If you live with that on your conscience, if you feel like your relationship with him is kind of hanging from a thread, and it's, gosh, you may even go to the place of, I wonder if that sin just took me out of the deal. I wonder if I just burned my adoption papers up with that one. You know, if you struggle with some of these thoughts, and if you don't believe and experience that God's good news is really good, are you going to want to share it with other people? If you think that your relationship with your dad, with your heavenly father, if you think that your relationship with your dad is conditional, that he's angry with you, that he's expecting you to disappoint him, that he's waiting to see how things turn out with you to decide what he thinks of you, are you going to be super excited to introduce your friends to your dad? So it's really, really important. We can just trudge forward with share the gospel and here's three successful steps to having a conversation and share our faith. But if we don't have the passion and we don't even have a clear picture of how good God is and how good the good news is that we've been called to share, then it's going to last a week. And we're going to be done with that and on to the next series. And now what do we study? And that's just not the life that God has for us. So let's spend a little bit of time with this question. I'll open us up in prayer and I'll just read these questions. I'm not going to put them up on the board. It's pretty simple. This is just taking some time to let it sink in and let God come in and speak. And this is probably the most fruitful time that we can have right now is the next 5 minutes of God speaking to us. So let's just go to him together. So God, I just pray that you'd lead this time right now. And it can feel difficult sometimes to stop long enough to take a look at what we're truly believing. Because we don't want to open the hood on the car. We just want to keep driving. One day after another, let's just keep moving down the road and just keep getting things done. Check off another day on the calendar. And it feels like work. It feels like risk to stop and pop the hood and look under, see what the condition of the engine is. And this is really a time, Lord, where I pray that you would help us to do that. Just before we walk out of here this morning, to take some time and say, am I really believing the good news is really good? Or maybe could I believe it for somebody else? But somehow it's a little bit different for me. I live under a little bit different system. Lord, would you open our eyes to why the believers in the New Testament were so passionate? And what they saw in the good news that caused them to face anything. To face being in lack at times. To face persecution. I pray that you would open our eyes right now. And specifically, Lord, just ask the Lord this question. Lord, how good am I believing your news is? God, do I have an understanding of the good news of Jesus, the work on the cross, that's par with the Apostle Paul? Because it's not about intelligence. It's about revelation. It's about the Holy Spirit allowing me to see my position with God. Where am I at in that, Lord? 1 to 10. 10 being, I see fully with the eyes of the Spirit that I am righteous when I stand before you, God, right now, today, without running through a list of the sins of the morning. I don't even have to go there. 1 being, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. And then another question, just staying in prayer. What am I believing currently about you, God, that diminishes my passion for the gospel? So there may be multiple things, but Lord, would you surface something right now, just maybe through the conversation of the message this morning? What is something I'm believing about you that's not true, that is watering down my passion, that's weighing me down unnecessarily from being just this passionate person who speaks of God without even trying in his life? So, Lord, we just ask that you continue this conversation with us and the things that were surfaced just now in listening to you. We can acknowledge them and put them back on a shelf and then continue on, or we can press into you. We can press into your word on those specific subjects that came up to discover the truth again, even if we've known it before. Maybe it's head knowledge, but it's not in our hearts. We're not seeing the fruit of it in our lives that we truly believe it. Lord, would you lead us on a journey, each of us individually, to seek out the truth and discover afresh the good news today? Time is short, Lord. We acknowledge that. We recognize that. There's a short time that we have on this earth. We want to live it all in the revelation of your goodness and the fruit of that coming from our lives. Lord, we just repeat and agree with David's prayer where he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Actually, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, Lord. Your salvation that you share with us. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." And then, like David's response to remembering the joy of his salvation, he says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you." Lord, as we remember the joy of our salvation and the joy of this salvation that you've given to us, just like David, the fruit of that is we speak to the people in our lives about your ways and about your goodness. And they turn from the darkness and they turn into a life full of light and joy and peace as they come into relationship with their Heavenly Father. So I pray that that would be the fruit of our lives, God. Would you guide us as we continue in this series, in these times, Lord, to be a light. In Jesus' name, amen. So next week we're going to take a pause with just teaching about sharing our faith and just spend a Sunday worshiping the God we just talked about, and the celebrating the good news at a deeper level. So it's going to be a worship Sunday, and just spending some time recognizing what we truly do believe and worshiping God with that, and renewing some of that joy of our salvation together as a family. So I'm looking forward to that. Nick's super excited about that too. And as you go out today, listening to the Lord this morning, interestingly enough, having not gotten a lot of sleep last night, the word that he had for me this morning was awaken. And yeah, fitting. I said, Lord, I have a long time ago, but awaken. And I didn't put it together until we were praying as a team, just the leaders this morning for the service, that's what he's wanting to do this morning, is awaken us to the joy of the salvation that Christ has given us. That's something we have right now. Whether we understand how good it is or not, you've got it, and it's really good. And it's a matter of seeking God for a deeper revelation of that. So I pray that over you guys this morning, because I know that that's God's heart for all of us, is that we awaken to the joy of our salvation. And that will produce fruit in our lives in sharing Christ. So bless you guys, and we will see you next week.